see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour, your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, July 9th, 2026 edition. Just to wrap up and give some historical perspective to this school aid fund. Well, according to Robert Schneider, Senior Research Associate with Citizens Research Council of Michigan, the debate is uniquely Michigan. Michigan's dedicated school aid fund structure is somewhat unique, especially because the state is now the primary funder of K through 12 schools after Proposal A. Back in 1994, Proposal A shifted much of the responsibility for funding public schools away from local property taxes and moved it toward state levied taxes flowing through a newly created school aid fund. Snyder said that there are still other states that rely more heavily on local property taxes, while others fund their schools directly through a state general budget fund. This makes Michigan's fight over post-secondary spending from the school aid fund somewhat distinct, even though the legal authority for it has existed for decades. A February Citizens Research Council report by Craig Thrio traces the authority back to the state constitution. The school aid fund was created as a separate fund back in 1954, but then it was expanded during the 1963 Constitutional Convention and began to include higher education. Although for decades, school aid dollars largely supported K through 12 schools and the school employee retirement costs. Well, that changed at the end of former Governor Jennifer Granholm's administration, when the lawmakers used $208 million in the school aid fund in the fiscal year 2010 community college budget. This was done to offset a general fund reduction during a difficult budget year. Well, that shift became permanent under former Governor Rick Snyder. His fiscal year 2012 budget proposal called for moving $800 million in the school aid fund dollars into higher education. while the final budget included $400 million in base funding for community colleges and university, replacing all the money coming from the general fund. Well, here we are a decade later. Fiscal year 2026-27 budget continues that trajectory. Where the critics, the math is straightforward. Dollars going to higher education are not going to K through 12 classrooms. $1.7 billion. Well, one of the Democrats called it a $600 million plus raid on the school aid fund. The Republicans should be ashamed. Regina Weiss, Democrat from Oak Park, state representative. Short break, we'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Get ready, Michigan. Saturday, July 25th, Rock Michigan Red comes to Liberty Mountain, USA in Farwell, Michigan in Clare County. Don't miss the Motor City Madman himself, Ted Nugent, live on the mountain for a night of music, energy, and Michigan pride. Bring your friends, bring your family, and be part of one unforgettable summer event at Liberty Mountain, USA. For tickets and full event details, go to libertymountainusa.com, click on events, and get your tickets today.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two. State Representative Regina Weiss went on to say, higher education scholarships had traditionally been paid through the general fund and warned that scholarship spending could grow if universities continue raising tuition, forcing school aid dollars to stretch even further. There's little to nothing to prevent higher education institutions from continuing to raise their tuition and requiring us to do more and more scholarships, depleting our taxpayer dollars further and further. This is turning into a bottomless pit, said Weiss. We already fund community college out of school aid. However, there's a limit to how much operations costs for a higher education we could shift over. But by layering on scholarships, we're opening up the hole even wider and wider and making these dollars go less further and just again continuing to balance and backfill the general fund off of the school aid fund. Robert McCann, executive director of the K-12 Alliance of Michigan, described the shift as a raid. He said the state has reached roughly $2 billion in school aid fund dollars being used outside of what he views as the fund's traditional K-12 purpose. At its simplest, McCann said this equates to $1,400 more per pupil. Students are not receiving because lawmakers and the governor are choosing to prioritize the money to go elsewhere. He said this began around 2010 during a bad budget year, but the move has continued under multiple administrations. McCann went on to say, the legislature said we're going to take a quote-unquote loan out for the school aid fund to pay for general fund needs. However, not surprisingly, it wasn't a loan because it was never paid back. It's been done every year since then. This is becoming frustrating for educators. During her time as Senate Minority Leader, then Governor Gretchen Whitmer called out the theft from schools in a floor statement. She attacked Governor Snyder for doing it. And now under her governorship for the last 8 years, it's just exploded. Well, Snyder understands why K-12 advocates are frustrated. Traditionally, he said school aid fund dollars went to public education purposes, mostly K-12. Then it began to include adult education and then the pre-K Great Start Readiness Program. Now, the fund is being used for community colleges and universities. Well, in the end, the bottom line, Citizen Research Council describes this relationship between the school aid fund and the general fund as becoming now a two-way street. Dollars effectively moving back and forth in both directions. While the school aid fund is being used to pay for higher education expenses, once was the responsibility of the general fund. According to Snyder, it needs to go back that way. So we'll continue to see where this goes. One of the things that is a short story I want to get in here real quick. The Mackinac Bridge, National Transportation Safety Board, they did an inspection, came out with a report, and stated that the Mackinac Bridge is at a low risk of collapse if it should be struck by a vessel. Mackinac Bridge Director Kim Nowak presented the collision study to the Mackinac Bridge Authority during a meeting yesterday. The study looked at 16 bridges that could be at risk if it was hit by a large ocean-going vessel. Well, NOAAC said the report confirms what has long been believed to be true. The risk of the Mackinac Bridge collapsing due to being struck by a vessel is extremely low. The NTSB sent a request to 30 owners of 68 bridges across 19 states to conduct a vulnerability assessment of bridge collapse from being hit by a ship. This all being triggered by the March 2024 incident involving the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. It was struck by a large vessel and it completely collapsed. Bridges were analyzed using the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials guide specifications and commentary for vessel collision design of highway bridges. The 244-page guide was first released in 1991 and updated in 2010. It found that the Mackinac Bridge met the reliability criteria by a wide margin. Guidelines found that the Francis Scott Key Bridge was 30 times more acceptable for critical damage compared to the Mackinac Bridge. NOAAC finished the presentation, said we hope that this report gives greater assurance to everyone who crosses the Mackinac Bridge every year that there's very little danger or any tragedy. The Mighty Mac. Pretty interesting. Got another story pulled up, shifting gears completely, getting back into politics. The very first poll of the Michigan U.S. Senate race on the Democrat side since Mallory McMorrow suspended her primary campaign this past weekend. Haley Stevens and Abdul El Sayed are basically now in a dead heat. Tavern Research Survey, most largest polling sample I've seen so far, asked 2,211 likely Democratic primary voters on Monday and Tuesday which candidate they believe would be more likely to defeat Mike Rogers in the general election. Even though McMorrow's name was still listed, El Sayed got 41%, Stevens got 38%, and McMorrow only got 5%. When they took McMorrow's name off, Stevens came up on top by 1%, 42% to 41%, with 17% saying they're not sure. However, the poll's margin of error was plus or minus 2.5%. It should be noted that McMorrow's name will still appear on every Democratic primary ballot a voter will be given, even though she suspended her campaign and is not actively seeking votes. Also, the study found 64% of primary voters said they thought it was at least somewhat likely that El Sayed would defeat Republican Mike Rogers in the general. 73% thought it was least somewhat likely Stevens would defeat Rogers. The results mark a shift from polling conducted before McMorrow's withdrawal. In the three-way race, El Sayed consistently held the advantage, leading the field on average by roughly 5 percentage points. McMorrow's exit appears to have reshaped the dynamics of the contest, with now what appears Stevens benefiting from the more consolidated share of moderate Democratic votes. Pretty interesting. And in related news for you Democrats, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, one of El Sayed's most prominent endorsers, has announced that he will join U.S. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for an El Sayed rally in downtown Lansing. The event is designed to energize progressive voters, reinforce El Sayed's standing among the Democratic Party, with just 26 days remaining until the primary. So Bernie Sanders, he's coming to Michigan. AOC absolutely supports El Sayed, and that's who she's pushing folks to support in the August 4th primary. Now, it's kind of interesting because I got a message this morning. Graham Plattner suspended his campaign in Maine for U.S. Senate, withdrawing as the Democratic nominee. Graham Plattner was accused of sexual assault. Even though he denied the accusation, he still has dropped out. Pretty interesting situation development. Early this morning, 1:06 a.m., he suspended his campaign. Let's see. Let's do this real quick. Click this and continue. Oh, we'll have to go back into it. Well, New York Times requiring a sign-in that I have not signed up for. Well, this is interesting, folks, because the race was to replace Republican, moderate Rhino Republican, Susan Collins, who's been there. I love Senator Kennedy from down south, says that Susan Collins has been a U.S. Senator since God was a baby. Very moderate, independent state of Maine. Democrats finally thought they had a candidate that could win. Well, comes to find out he's not such a great person, and suspended his campaign at 1:06 this morning. Pretty interesting development. Question's going to be who's going to replace him and end up on the November ballot against Susan Collins. Let's see, one other short story. This one I'm going to start. We'll finish it on the other side. President Trump refuses to back down. Vows to take birthright citizenship fight back to the Supreme Court. This is interesting. Calling the initial ruling a miscarriage of justice. Involves one more fight to end the automatic citizenship. We'll get into this story. We also have more coming from Lansing. I'm waiting for an update on one story. We'll get to it in the third hour. They have a hearing in a courtroom that will change the outcome of the story, so we'll get to it in the third hour. Hour number two news break. We'll be right back.